afternoon we're going to look at the area of creativity. When Esther sent the letter down and the sessions were outlined for us, when I saw that I was down for creativity, I must admit that I thought there for a little while, oh dear, they've made a big mistake. And I know in the past as I've been talking to different folks, in conversation I'll say, well, you know, I'm not a very creative person, I'm just not the crafty type. I don't sew, I'm not that good in the kitchen, there are other areas, you know, I'm just not a creative person. And yet, just given the opportunity to look into the area of creativity, whether it be in our home or in our church or in our workplace, I've come to see that yes, I am a creative person. And I trust that, I don't know how your attitude is toward creativity today, maybe your thinking was the way my thinking was, so I just hope that after we've gone through a few things today that you can walk out and say, yes, I am a creative person. So creativity is a very positive thing. We've talked this weekend about crisis, about choices, and now creativity, and it conjures up in your mind, doesn't it, something positive. Something creative is something positive. And sometimes we just tend to box in creative people or just this type of person. They can just do anything. They're just creative. And yet, when you look into the whole area of creativity, creativity itself is just a matter of using your own internal resources. And Betty's covered that today in her talk this morning, where we talk about coping. What is coping? It's using your internal resources to cope with whatever's going on outside. And in fact, creativity is the same thing. It's just a matter of using those internal resources. And I think when we come to see that each of us has resources. There are none of us today who haven't got some resources. Betty mentioned in her talk this morning that each of us are unique. You can't see the writing under the overhead there, but it says, I know God cares for me. We are each of us unique. Some of us are like each other in different ways, but as individuals we are completely unique. Not one of us is the same as the person next door to you. And as Betty mentioned this morning, God is 100% committed to you. And as individuals we are all absolutely unique. Isn't that fantastic? When you think of all the people there are in the world, as you see there, the world, and yet there's this one little person, and he can say, man, I know God cares for me, because we are unique. We've been created that way. So each of us does have internal resources. In fact, one of the definitions I came across with regards to creativity said, creativity was really just a matter of organising your own basic skills. It's not a matter of regretting that you weren't born gifted. Because in fact, all of us have been born gifted. Now, I'm not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about talents. And even though you might think, well, talents aren't really scriptural, they are in a sense because God's given them to us. It's what we do with those talents that matters toward God. Are we using them for the Lord? And so the whole area of creativity is this positive thing. When you look in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 27, and that verse was read out to us today, speaking of the virtuous woman, it says, she looks well to the ways of her household and she eats not the bread of idleness. Just looking at the whole subject of creativity, one thing that really stuck out was the fact that it takes hard work. And if each of us here today are wanting to be that virtuous woman and striving toward that, we've got to understand that it takes hard work. And if you're in a position today where you're thinking, I need to be a little bit more creative in your home, in your church, in whatever service you're doing in your church, or whether it's in your job, then let me say here and now, it's going to take hard work. It's not easy. It's a matter of organising your skills and putting in some hard work. Let's look at what it involves. Creativity really involves being original, having your own originality. Because we are all unique, I'll leave that on. Because we are all unique, we each have, each of us, our own original way of doing things, our own original ideas. So we need to be really flexible in our area of creativity. With being creative, it means action, doesn't it? You have to be in the function mode. I know last year our ladies were very creative and made some very lovely flower arrangements, and you know when they did it, I said, no, I couldn't do that because I'm not creative. You know what I forgot? If you want to be creative, then it means having a go. And I didn't try last year. I'm really sorry I didn't. I should have been out there having a go. Now, if you're saying today you're not a creative person, I want to challenge that because I think you are a creative person. But there are some things that it requires. It requires action. It means you've got to have a go. And it also means that you have to have some sort of a project or a target or an aim. So if you're wanting to be more creative, then find something. Find some sort of project that you want to do. Whether it be in your home, in maybe decorating, whether it be in your job, you want to better organise the office, or whether it be in your church, the way you run your Sunday school program or your kids' club, you can be creative. So, but it does require hard work, and it means having a go, and it means having some sort of a target or a project. I think really there are two types of creative women, and I found a few illustrations that I knew you'd appreciate. This is who I call Miss Innovator. Miss Innovator. And even though it's a man here, I just want to illustrate to you what sort of a person is this innovative person. Okay, she's the sort of woman that thinks of really bright new ideas. She's that type of erratic sort of a person that sort of plunges in, doesn't really think about the long-term consequences or how it's going to affect those around her. She's just got all these great new ideas. She's a really flexible type of person. And she isn't really going to consider what's going to happen. She's always trying something new. She's bright, open, flexible, always looking for new territory. And she tends to recommend changes that are very difficult to predict. Now, I wonder if I could ask our Ladies' House Party Committee which one of their ladies is Miss Innovator? Which one of those ladies is that innovative thinker who thinks of new ideas? We need to have them, don't we? Okay, let's look at our second one.
Who was it?
Yes, who was it? This is Miss Adapter. Well, Mrs. Adapter. Mrs. Adapter tends to only use those ideas that have been tried and tested. You see, this lady's using the old tried and tested, sweeping under the carpet. Unfortunately, the boss was aware of her and he put a little message there for her. But that wasn't really my aim of using that illustration. What I wanted to show there is this type of creative person uses ideas that have already been tried and tested. And after going through that, I can just see, man, I am Mrs. Adapter. I remember we went to Queensland and went to my sister-in-law's house there, and she had this a little arrangement on her counter. I saw it, I liked it, and I thought, I'm going to have a go. When I went home, I thought, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to have a go. So I got down to the bakery shop, I bought half a dozen buns, different styles of buns. I whacked them in the microwave and killed them till they were rock hard. I got the can of ester pole out and painted them, bought a basket cheap from Franklin's, popped them in a basket with a few dried flowers, and voila, I did it. Mrs. Adapter, she sees these ideas and she can improve them and she refines them. She's a real hard worker. She sees things. She can only use things that have been tried and tested. She's a little bit rigid, you know, the real logical thinker. You know, she's a bit sort of down here. Now, maybe we're not at one extreme or the other. Most of us really would probably be down the centre. But they're the two main areas of thinking when you're talking about creative thinkers. Either innovative or adaptive. Okay, what are some of the rewards for creativity? Firstly, I think it makes our lives a little bit more interesting, doesn't it? Yes, it does require action. It means having a go, but it does make life more interesting. I don't know where you're at today with your Sunday school work or your kids' club work or where you're at in your own home or in your job, maybe things are starting to get a little bit dull and tedious. Let me encourage you to start thinking creative. The creative type of person is always looking out for new ideas, always looking for things that can be improved. And as you look at that virtuous woman, isn't she doing that? She looks well to the way of her household. She's always looking. We need to be that type of person. Whether it be innovative or adaptive, if your life has become dull in whatever area, then start to think about being creative. Also, I think it gives us aims and objectives. When the school holidays came up just this year in July, I'd been away for 3 weeks from the home. I went away with the ministry team and Marty was left with the 5 children. And I just couldn't wait to get back home. You know how it is. And that probably only lasted for a couple of hours. And I had these aims and objectives. And do you know, it just changed our school holidays. Normally for school holidays, for me, it's like, I don't know whether I'm Arthur or Martha. And I really get stressed out. It's just like, you know, how did I ever cope before? How could I ever cope with homeschooling? I don't know how people do it. But with these aims and objectives and with thinking about, well, what can we do together as a family? Man, we did heaps of things together. We planned our holidays. This is what we'll do. I said, how about we strip this wardrobe and get some Estepol and some stain. And we restained a whole wardrobe. And it was just excellent because we could all work together. And it really changed the environment in our home for school holidays. All because I began to see that I can be a creative person. Also, I think it gives us a great sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. I mean, you just don't know how proud I was of my basket. And I thought, I've got to stop telling people what I've done in the holiday. I've got to stop showing people that I've done this basket, but I just couldn't help it. And it does give us that sense, doesn't it? I don't know about you ladies who are able to arrange flowers, but when it's finished, you do, you feel, wow, you know, I've completed that. It gives you that real sense of satisfaction. The virtuous woman looks well to the way of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Okay, what are some of the basic skills involved in creativity? We did mention it this morning, and I didn't mean to insinuate that I am an organised person. In some areas, yes, I am, but there are areas that I need to improve in. But I think one of the most basic skills with creativity is we do need to be organised. And I don't know, maybe you're an organised person. I'm a bit regimented, so I like things where in my drawers and that type of thing. That's why I think that way. That's just the person I am. But if we're going to be creative, we do need to be organised. And one of the most very basic things, if you're wanting to be an organised person, is a simple to-do list. And I think that's where organisation can start. And Cynthia's got them over there for sale. So if you're really keen to be an organised person, grab one and start there. If you want to start anywhere, start from scratch and use lists. If you're trying to be an organised person and you're struggling in that area, use lists. Have day plans, week plans, long-term goals. Use things that you can see and you see how things start to fit in order and you become more organised. Use your time well. The other area with basic skills and creativity, I think, is our own motivation. This guy's organised. It's actually Marty. Can you see it? Mm-hmm. Is that the car wash? We have to be organised, don't we? And we might have to use a few means like that. I don't know. I think that's really organised. I like it. I wonder if it works. I don't know. But don't we need to be motivated? One of the basic skills with creativity. She asked him, are you going to cut the grass or are you going to let the people upstairs do it? Ladies, we've got to be motivated. I think there are two sides to motivation, aren't they? There's that selfish motivation and there's that godly motivation. Just doing character studies, and I know this weekend is Women of Influence, so you won't mind me saying it, but Rebecca, if you study her life, showed two instances of motivation. Firstly, when Abraham's servant came to look for a wife, you'll remember that Rebecca met him at the well, and he'd already prayed, "Lord, the woman that gives me a drink and offers to water my camels," which was completely unlikely, "she'll be the one." And the very first is Rebecca. And he says, "Woman, would you get me a drink?" She said, "I'll water your camels as well." What a godly motivation. That would have taken a lot of work, and it was certainly not a selfish motivation. She was thinking more of him, not of herself, how hard that would have been for her, how it would have made her late to go home, how difficult it would have been for her. It was a godly motivation. She was prepared to do that. And yet, unfortunately, as life went on for Rebecca, we see a different type of motivation come in. Because when Isaac was ready to die and prepared to give away his inheritance, you'll know and remember the story where Rebecca deceives Isaac into dressing Jacob up and fixing up a special meal and pretending that Jacob was Esau. Now, her motivation there was selfish, because in fact she preferred Jacob over Esau. And what did that bring about, ladies? Absolute sorrow for her, because she never saw Jacob alive again. He was so scared of what Esau was going to do to him when he got home that Jacob left home, and unfortunately Rebecca never saw him again. So our motivation's got to be one of selflessness. If our creativity is all for me, then really it's not going to be a rewarding thing, is it? It's for those around about us. In checking our motivation, I think we need to remember three things. It's not for our own selfish gains. It ought to be something that's pleasing the Lord, and it should be something where we can say, "I've done my best. I've done the best I can do." So if you want to check out your motivation in whatever area, whether it be in your home or in your church or in your job, be it one where you know is going to honour and please the Lord. Lastly, another skill in creativity is observation. I think if we're desiring to be creative, we need to be able to see things that need improving, or to see problems that are coming up, and then what are we going to do about them? So that creative type of person is someone who sees things and sees they need improving, or sees things that that there's problems, and then they can look about doing something about it. It makes us more sensitive to things around about us if we can improve on our observation. Now, in a little while, we're going to break up and we're going to play a few games, because I want you to think about this whole area of observation. Now, no being naughty, any of you sneak out and I'll be chasing you. I want you to be brave, be bold. Okay, but this whole area of observation is very important. If you're wanting to be more of a creative type of person, then you've got to start to look. Remember, the virtuous woman looks well to the way of her household. So we need to be more observant. That will help us then become a more creative person. When we start to see other ideas, start to be a little bit more flexible, start to think, "Yeah, I think I could do that. I know how they do that. This is how I could do that." I mean, in decorating our homes, don't we do that already? Don't you go into someone else's place and think, I'm going to go home and do that with mine. Oh, I see how they do their curtains. Or that sort of thing. We're always looking, aren't we? You love house and garden books. You like to just go into these homes that are on display just to see how they arrange things. And that's how we get ideas. We need to be skilled in observation. Now, before we break up, here's a little exercise if you want to take home just to improve your skills in observation. Practice throwing glances at objects. For instance, one of these tea towels. Practice throwing a glance, coming away and saying, "Now what can I remember about that tea towel?" You can do it with posters, you can do it with street signs, you can do it anywhere. And practice, practice, practice. Even, I don't know whether you do it now, but number plates on cars.
do you look at number plates while you're driving along? I do it all the time, I don't know why. Probably because our kids say, look, that one says bug, B-U-G, and different things like that. But it does improve your powers of observation. Now I'm going to show you an overhead here. It's actually an overhead of two women. Now if you think you can see one woman straight off, can you put your hand up? Okay, do you think you can see two women?
Yes, I can see two.
You see two?
Yeah, I see two.
Good.
Yes.
Where's your first woman?
The old one.
Actually, Pam, someone said to me this week that the old woman looks like an old Maori woman, is that right?
Yeah, she's
a bit of an old hag, isn't she? And you can all see the young woman? Good, very good. It took me ages to see that young woman, I'd have you know.
The young woman?
Yeah, point it out, friend. Tell us where it is. Watch, friend.
That there's the cheek and the eyelash and the hair. Right? If you look at this, and that's the nose and the mouth. And
where's the eye?
Can you see that?
The eye is that little bit
there. You see that too?
It is very hard to see. Well, Fran's very observant. She's seen the both of them straight off. It took me ages. Okay, now we're going to practice powers of observation in regards to being a bit more creative. Then we're going to try and be a little bit more creative in storytelling. And this is going to be good for you mums with little kids. Okay, this is what I want you to do. Now please, all of us, throw away your inhibitions. Be bold, be brave. I want you to break up into pairs. One of you will be a camera, the other will be the person taking the photos, okay? So the camera person will have her eyes closed and her photographer will hold her by the hands. I want you to take your camera around to different areas in this room. For instance, this right here, if I was the camera, my photographer would hold me, put my head down and say, okay, squeeze my hand, means take a photo. I could take a quick, and then that's it. Quick blink, and that's the photo. Okay, I want you to take with your camera 5 or 6 photos from inside this room or the next room, and then Miss Camera has to piece together those photographs to make up a little story. Okay, now, come on. It'll be really good, friend. You'll be first off if you don't be good. Come on, girls. We need to practice the powers of observation and more creative. Big game. You will be surprised what you come up. It doesn't have to make sense. It's just a matter of having a go. Okay? And it means action. To get up and do it. Okay, have a go and have fun. Just the one person's the camera, the other person's the photographer, so just squeeze her hand when she wanted to take a picture. And it can be anything. Yes? It'll be nice fun at all of us, don't you?
But once upon a time there was a little girl who was sitting on the chair all by herself when she suddenly thought, I should be very creative. So she jumped up and ran over to a tape recorder and said, I think I'll sing into this tape recorder. And so she put the microphone on, she sang a little song and she said, this has made me feel very cold. So she ran over to the heater, that thing there, the fire, and she warmed herself up and then she said, oh, I feel so hungry now. So she ran in, she ate some fruit off the table in there, and then she said, oh, I feel creative once again. So she ran over to those little dried flowers over there and said, I'll put some together in a little container with some bread rolls and I'll spray them and microwave them. And I had a very creative afternoon and I feel really great. Lindy will help me if I'm wrong here. Well, first of all, we had a bowl of fruit which exploded into stars, which made a mess, was vacuum cleaned up, and then they made a song about it on the piano.
Yeah. Once upon a time, there was a person and they chose a t-shirt to wear. And the reason they chose that t-shirt because they'd been reading a book and they noticed that in the book that there was a t-shirt, so that really appealed to them. So that triggered them off that they'd really like to have a t-shirt. And then they were sort of sitting around the place and someone came in and invited everyone who was wearing a t-shirt could go for a ride on a horse. So that meant they go for a ride on a horse, and the story finishes really quickly now because when they came back it was really late and it was really cold, so they sat around the fire and had a sing song around the piano.
Okay, once upon a time there was a fire, so I got the fire extinguisher and I thought I'd go and have a cup of tea at the urn. As I had a cup of tea, I suddenly thought about the dry flour container. And as I looked at that, I looked at a picture and then I thought I'd go and have a piece of fruit.
It was a very strange morning when I woke up this morning. I got out of bed and there was a red and a blue jumper folded in a glass cabinet. I walked to the kitchen and the bowl of fruit was half empty. What could possibly be happening? And the dried flowers. The dried flowers. It was very strange. And as the pieces of the puzzle were starting to filter together in my mind, I saw the bib on the table. And then I walked. And then I walked out and saw the deserted path. And I knew I was left.
Well, we went over to the piano and we decided it was a bit of rubbish. Oh, no, sorry, it was a bit. We wanted to throw it in the rubbish, but it was a bit too big and we couldn't fit it through that window. So we chopped it up and we put it into the fire. And we went over the bookshelf and there was no music books there, but we eventually came over the piano and played some music.
Okay, once upon a time, there was a fire again. So the fire extinguisher which hung on the wall was used to put it out, but we discovered that the little lucifers on the piano were used to start it. And we saved the puppy and the kittens and the wombats and the tape recorder from the fire.
Once upon a time there was a little gnome that lived in a basket, and a little boy picked him up and decided to take him for a ride in this trailer that had a whole lot of rubbish bins in it. And while they were out in the trailer, they took a basket with them and collected some wood, so they had a basket of wood for the fire. And they also collected some flowers for their mum and put in a vase, and they had a vase of flowers to give to their mum. And the little gnome also thought it'd be nice to see some wombats, so he sent some small wombats out in the bush while he was collecting the wood. And then when he came back from all that, he decided to have some fruit out of the basket to tide him over till tea time.
My story is about a naughty little boy who was going to have piano lessons. His mum did a lovely, beautiful display of daisies and was decorating the house up beautifully for the piano teacher who hadn't been there before. And the little boy just wanted to get out of it every which way he could. He was trying to be good, and he had his apple for morning tea and his orange and his banana from the lovely basket that mum had presented out very nicely. He tried to do everything good that he could to try and talk her out of it. He sat down quietly and read his books, but this wasn't working. And his mum put his music book up on the piano, all ready to go. But he didn't want to do it. So when he heard the knock on the door, he hid his music book behind the fire extinguisher.